Today's episode is brought to you by Squarespace 7. Norman Chan?
Yeah, Squarespace 7. A bunch of new features in this. Squarespace, of course, is a service that lets you build your own website really easily and also host it if you don't know how. No coding required. And there are a cool feature. There's a cool feature called with Google Apps integration.
Yeah, so Squarespace 7 includes tons of new features. Google Apps integration is one of them. What that means is that you can have Gmail, Google Apps for your domain, including Calendar, Drive, Docs, Sheets, all that stuff. And it's just part of your Squarespace deal. So when you pay for Squarespace, you get that built in. And if you want to try out Squarespace, you can try it out for free. You don't even have to put your credit card in. You can go to squarespace.com and use the offer code Untitled when you do put your credit card in, and you'll get 10% off. And let Squarespace know that you support Still Untitled. Welcome to Still Untitled, the Adam Savage Project. I'm Will.
I'm Adam.
And I'm Norm.
Hello, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Happy New Year.
Well, many things have been happening recently.
We did an episode, I feel like, in the fever dream between when you got back from tour.
We did.
And when vacation holiday stuff started.
Yes.
And then CES happened.
Well, then Christmas and New Year's and CES, and it's just been...
I don't even know what day it is. I think it's Monday.
I've been in the same boat. I've been in Los Angeles for the last 4 days because I went down to Pasadena to the really, truly beautiful Langham Hotel. Honestly, if you are in Pasadena and you're wondering what to do, go to the Langham for lunch.
Just hang out in the lobby, check it out.
Beautiful, beautiful hotel. Mm. Really old school. From the top floor, there's a view of all of downtown Pasadena, which is just gorgeous. And we were there doing TCA. TCA is where the television shows all go and talk about their shows to the television critics.
It's like a trade show for television shows.
It is, and it lasts, I didn't know, have any idea how long it lasts. Weeks, a couple of weeks.
Wow.
And you
there
go
are a lot of TV shows.
A lot of TV shows. So the night that I got there, I ran into a producer I'd worked with who's now an executive at Nat Geo, and he's like, well, there's the cocktail party tonight, come on down. Thought, let's go mingle with the enemy. I don't consider Nat Geo the enemy, but,
yeah,
you know, they're discovered.
They do similar things, and you're affiliated with one team, and they're affiliated with the other.
Exactly.
They're the red commies. You're the, you know, you're the America.
Yeah. National League and American League.
America. Yeah.
But it was really fun. I went down and saw my friend Neil deGrasse Tyson and made friends with Cal Penn and hung out with some folks.
I saw pictures from that.
Yeah.
Was David Reese there?
David was not. David's show did not get renewed.
Oh, no.
No, I know.
Oh, I'm super sad.
I know. I'm sad about that, too.
I really loved his show.
I love David, and I love his show. I hope it finds another home. I don't know how that works, but I hope it does.
Yeah. Sorry. That's awkward.
Yeah,
now.
Well, that was... Wow,
jeez.
Oh, they showed some clips from Better Call Saul.
Did they?
Oh, they did?
I haven't watched those yet, because I'm not sure I want to watch them.
It's a very different show.
Yeah, obviously.
Well, yeah. Odenkirk is a
Vince told me
guy.
It was pretty dark still.
Yeah, it looked like him manic.
Oh, really?
Being very manic. Yeah, a lot of scrambling.
Well, so I did TCA on Thursday, then hung out at the Langham on Friday, and then came into LA where my friends Ben Acker and Ben Blacker, Acker and Blacker, write and perform the Thrilling Adventure Hour at Largo at the Coronet in Los Angeles.
They're going to be in San Francisco for Sketch Fest.
They will be, and right? I'll be watching because I love that show. It's great. So I got to perform in it as a dumb skeleton with Rich Sommer from Mad Men and John Hamm from Mad Men. It was a whole Mad Men-centric evening.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
I saw Rich smashing something in a backstage picture or Vine or something.
Some fans of Thrilling Adventure Hour actually did a stage performance of one of their scripts. And this was at a college in Maine, if I remember correctly. And as a thank you for the permission to do this, they sent a chocolate lobster surrounded with all the fixings, all made out of chocolate. So little shells and little, there is even like, there was even, what do you call it? A little keb of butter that was also actually chocolate.
Oh, wow.
It's gonna mess with your expectations.
Wow.
What's that?
It's gonna mess with your expectations.
It was great.
If you broke off the head and sucked out the brain, was it like a little
It was just all chocolate.
Poof?
It wasn't nearly that anatomically correct. It was like a lobster-shaped mold with chocolate in it.
Okay.
But we were slowly decimating the lobster, and Rich Sommer finally decided to go after it with the little knife on the end of a bottle opener.
That's my favorite little. That's my box opener.
That right.
The waiter's corkscrew knife.
The waiter's corkscrew knife is my box.
It's opener. It's an excellent box opener.
It's safe.
Yeah.
It's
serrated.
It's really hard to cut yourself with it, even if you overshoot.
And it's not too deep.
No, and it cuts through all that like the really hard tape.
Yes.
The UPS tape.
Right.
With the strings in the middle. That's my pro tip.
Is there room in the world for a dedicated box opening knife?
There are bunches of them.
I know, but most of the ones I've used are not great.
Oh, I agree.
They have
so
that,
you
that
mean
book.
Is there room in the world for a better one?
An
I
awesome
the
one.
Answer is yes.
Okay.
So I got back last night. Our flight was delayed a couple of hours. Well, it wasn't bad. Actually, ran into really this was Famous People Weekend. I ran into Charlie Day.
Really? You had the best weekend ever.
In Los Angeles. And we had met on the set of Pacific Rim, and we chatted a bit about TCA, and he's doing the Tonight Show tonight.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so, I'm bleary-eyed. You know, we got back to our house, haven't seen our house. Norm stayed with our dogs, which was awesome. But they were insane and beside themselves to see us. And we watched the Golden Globes.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Golden Globes were last night.
But that wasn't even what I wanted to talk about. I wanted to talk about those high, beautiful pictures of New York from the helicopter.
Oh, yes.
Did you catch those?
They are post-processed is one of the reasons why they're beautiful.
I'm sure they're post-processed, but they're still he's shooting at a very high ASA.
Mm-hmm. What are you guys talking about?
So there's a series of photographs you can find online now. Just they're above like Times Square, but where there's a multitude of colors, and the camera they're using must have really good dynamic range.
He's a 1DS.
Yes.
He said a 1DS set to, it was like, I think they weren't going higher than 6400 with a 1.2 lens.
For night shots?
And we're hanging out the side of a helicopter that took some doing to get permission to fly as high as they were. They were at a few thousand feet.
And so it doesn't look blown out. Any type of video shot you see of New York, typically like with the contrast between bright lights and the darkness, something's going to look wrong. But with the processing, it looks
long exposures.
Did it look like that old Tokyo high dynamic range shot from like the early 2000s, mid 2000s?
But there was contrast. Like there was blackness, but there's like the lights.
The range is amazing. They're really,
so
really
vibrant.
Beautiful. I thought of you as soon as I saw it. I think I tweeted it. I can't remember.
Yeah, you did.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool. Yeah. We'll put it at the end of this podcast.
Yeah.
Right?
I'll make it the show art. So when you go to tested.com, you can see it there on the page.
Well, there you go.
Maybe.
How did you get from Golden Globes to that?
That was what I wanted to start talking about. That was that was where I thought we would start. But then
another
seamless
segue.
We were talking
segue.
About the Bataan Death March of our like crazy, end of year, beginning of year.
Yeah.
We met famous people too.
Really?
You guys
we saw Penn and Teller.
Oh, we did. We hung out. Yeah. We hung out briefly.
We went to the show. Did you get backstage?
We did.
Oh, yeah. Awesome.
That green room that's not really green is awesome.
Isn't it really
good? Yeah. And we sat there. Teller was kind enough to sit down, and he sat down for 45 minutes or an hour with us after the show. And we just kind of talked about a wide variety of topics. Penn was in and out kind of quick. Did a trick for Norm.
They did a card trick. So they did. They were going to be, I guess, in the past. Now,
did you shoot it? Did you film it?
No, they didn't let us film because
cool.
they were out of their
work
clothes.
Totally understood. I was going to be surprised if they did. But
they shot it for themselves.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
It was a
rehearsal because they're practicing.
Nice.
They rehearsed a card trick. They're going to be on Craig Ferguson, who's over on Drew Carey's on for him
right now.
So they invited us, one of us, and I sat next to them, and they did a card trick, which I guess it must have aired already.
It was supposed to be for last Friday, I think.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But it was pick a card and pick your number, but then they do, of course, their bit where it is surprise at the end.
The surprise reveal that they knew the card.
Right. So I'd never seen them live before. I've seen them on TV and stuff for many years.
Yeah, yeah.
But that was a fantastic show.
Isn't it amazing?
Like it's amazing that they make it, I would say it's what, probably bring your 12-year-old maybe?
Oh, yeah.
Like
there's no foul language in it. There's nothing. Mm-hmm.
There was a little bit of gore that might have freaked out a young kid. Yeah
stuff
cutting
like a lady in half is, but this is not that bad.
But the bullet catch, I have no comp. I don't even know.
Yeah, it's great.
I don't know.
It's totally.
And the guys were out. Were the assistants were out in the lobby with the bullets afterwards, like showing them.
Right.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that even if you can, if you read or figure out, because they kind of telegraph. You know, we use thread for this trick.
Yeah.
But it's still incomprehensible how they
you mean the ball
how fast
yeah. the ball Teller's ball bit is amazing. Like I know the theory of how that works, and I don't know how they do that.
Teller, I was lucky enough to be at a conference. Don't worry, Teller, I'm not going to say anything. where Teller actually walked and it's this will never be this talk will never be recorded and never be broadcast anywhere, but Teller walks you through the evolution of that trick. Oh, and it's goodness. An amazing and beautiful evolution, and it's an astonishing bit of juggling. The rose.
Mm-hmm. How about the rose was so the Teller interstitials, I think, were my favorite parts of the show. The rose where he walks up and cuts the leaves off a rose by cutting the shadow.
Yeah.
It's amazing. The goldfish. Goldfish
is might be my favorite trick visually, like, because I never don't.
The colors leap out. And you're like, oh my God, that's so good.
My kids still like, that's their favorite, and they keep on begging me to tell them how it works, and I won't do it.
You can kind of.
No, you did.
I will not say a single word.
The problem is, like all magic tricks, if you are super into the trick and you're told how it works, you'd be like, oh, really? Well, all of them are like that. As Ben is actually fond of saying, if the reveal is awesome, we'd show you.
Yeah. Well,
and here's the thing: they do the reveals. It's kind of like postmodern deconstructed magic, right?
It is.
Like they're coming through and showing here's by showing the things that they're sleight of handing, they changed the place that's sleight of hand to a completely different place. It's really neat.
Yeah.
Like if you're in Vegas, you should absolutely go see the show.
And they're really interesting personalities. I mean, there's so much material about them.
Yeah.
They've done so many TV shows, and one of the great TV shows I got to give a shout out to is Bullshit.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
An amazing show. Bulls Hit.
Because they are, like you, they're members of the skeptic community.
Mm-hmm.
And
a useless word, I've decided.
Really?
Yeah. Look,
the community?
No, not a useless community, a useless word. Oh, skeptic. I've just decided to eschew the words skeptic and atheist because they're overly charged. They're more charged than I mean them to be when I say them, and so I'm now replacing them with critical thinker.
Which is essentially the same thing.
Yes, I agree. But when you say atheist or you say skeptic, well,
that
means a whole bunch of different things to different people. And anyway, that's not the point of this discussion.
But it is in some regards because this past week you had a conversation on Twitter.
Oh, right.
You got a kerfuffle.
Oh, come on.
I'm so sorry. That's great.
Bullshit and skepticism.
It was really nicely done, Norm.
That was a carefully constructed ice castle that unfortunately got melted before I got to
it. You just stomped right through
it. I'm so sorry.
It was a good time.
So, yes, I did have a bit of a dust up as a critical thinker this week
the internet.
Thursday or Friday, somebody tweeted to me and said, oh, don't know what to watch tonight. Oh, don't know what to watch on Saturday night. The Mythbusters season premiere, which was our Simpsons episode.
And the new revamp of the show.
And it's Adam and Jamie. And it's just totally, I was really proud of it. But again, the point of this conversation is they were like, I don't know what to watch. The Mythbusters premiere or Ghost Adventurers premiere?
I don't know. I'm not familiar with Ghost Adventurers.
Neither was I.
Okay.
But it is a show. I think it's on the Travel Channel. I have not seen it. I have not seen it. I'm speaking from a place of ignorance about this show. Based entirely on the title. And I tweeted back, I thought uncontroversially, wow, that's a tough call because Mythbusters exists in the real world and Ghost Adventurers is total fiction. And that got an immediate response. I didn't realize I had been the person tagged both me and the host of Ghost Adventurers.
Oh no.
And then my reply tagged them too. So I looked like a total asshole shit talker, which I guess from a certain vantage point, you could say that I am.
At least you didn't subtweet. You know, subtweet is when you talk about someone without including their tag.
Oh.
So, you know, you were out and out.
I was out in the open.
Yeah, out in the open. Hey.
So he tweeted back and called me a nerd shit talker.
Which is entirely accurate.
Yes. And then I got thousands and thousands and thousands of really angry tweets.
Wow.
So just to be clear.
I got to look up the show so we can be informed.
For Ghost Adventurers fans and to the host of Ghost Adventurers, I will say, I think ghosts are fictional. I don't assume that the host of Ghost Adventurers are high-fiving each other because they're putting one over on everyone. I could very reasonably believe that they believe in ghosts and they believe they're out there and they make a TV show about them. I do not believe in ghosts. I believe the burden of proof is on them, not me, because I actually did a bunch of research this weekend, and there are no scientific papers about ghosts and ghost phenomena whatsoever. I stand by the idea that ghosts are fictional, and by fictional, I mean not real. Again, I don't mean to say that I think that the people who make these shows are venal. They're not like fortune tellers. They're not stealing your money to tell you,
right,
you know,
what you want to hear.
Yeah. Right. Which fortune tellers are doing, by the way.
This is also covered in the Penn and Teller show.
Right. In some regards, they're feeding on the hope that there is an afterlife.
But, which is a genuinely great hope. I hope there is one too, but I don't believe there is one.
You want to go, you're hoping for the upload.
I wouldn't mind the upload.
Yeah, the upload seems like the way
show,
to go.
First of all, the show is called Ghost Adventures. Ghost Adventures.
Okay, I got that
one. We'll set that straight.
Okay.
And every episode, a trio of adventurers, yes, from Wikipedia, they investigate a site where there is reportedly a haunted, you know, some haunted stuff.
And these
what
guys,
if at the end
from what I understand, these guys started out with an amateur YouTube channel that got made into a show, which is more power to
that's
them.
Awesome.
That's awesome. Hey. That's great. Yeah. Hey, man. And again, I like, if Twitter allowed more than 140 characters,
yes,
I might have said, that's great because MythBusters is real and ghosts aren't.
Oh my God, okay,
right?
Yeah,
which was your intent. My point. I have no desire to say anything whatsoever about hosts of Ghost Adventures, people who believe in ghosts.
Norm's
because
giggling.
I don't have. Hold on there, Norm. I have no contempt or anger towards people who believe in ghosts.
No,
I don't see any harm from that belief.
It's just like people who believe in anything.
It's one
all
that
cool.
I don't share, so yeah, that's fine. I don't believe in ghosts. That's really what the point of my tweet was. But apparently I'm a shit talker. Go ahead.
My concern
is
that the show is actually a bunch of guys who go out and debunk ghost stories and have adventures in the way.
No. Or the stretch would be if it was a show about, you know, just chatting with the historical narrative of
right,
of
like
ghosts
houses that are reported to be haunted.
A lot of
stuff
the tweets,
like that,
the ones that stung, called me close-minded and anti-science.
So,
go ahead.
So they use scientific equipment,
yeah,
right? So
that means equipment,
right? Equipment, right?
They plumb bobs,
digital thermometers, EMF meters,
yes,
handheld digital video equipment,
yeah,
right? And then the best part, and this could be just a Wikipedia description. The best part of this is the members sometimes place objects and shout verbal taunts.
Yeah,
they believe the ghosts might move or respond to.
Yes. Be careful. There are people who sincerely, I'm not backpedaling from my tweet. I just want to explicate because I think this is an important distinction. I know a lot of skeptics who are openly contemptuous of people who say, thank God or bless you. And I find that to be rude and shitty.
Well, that's linguistic appendices.
But deeper than that, it's dismissive and it's what do you call it? It's not right speech to me. It's bad. It's a bad way to move through the world because I'm not openly contemptuous of anybody, and I am openly contemptuous of lots of people, many of them politicians.
It's people who are taking advantage of people's weaknesses with intent to defraud
or
whatever.
That gets me crazy.
Like, that's something that makes me really crazy.
But sight unseen, I'm not contemptuous of anybody. And I thought about this all weekend long. Like, what's the harm in believing in ghosts? I really can't peg it. I don't find one. I find one if you're hosting expensive seances for real and saying you're talking to the dead. Mm-hmm. I think that that's like, I don't like that. But as far as people who believe, like, you know, these guys really are desiring to find some link between us and a thing called an afterlife. That is not an unreasonable endeavor. Unfortunately, from a scientific standpoint, and I do believe that I can say that phrase without a tongue in cheek, from a scientific standpoint, all that equipment makes assumption after assumption after assumption. An EMF meter assumes that they affect electromagnetic waves. A Gauss meter, magnetic, right? Voice recorders assumes that they can speak in the world. Do they have form or don't they? Does an infrared camera pick them up or a cold spot? All of these are based on assumptions that have never been tested. The underlying ideas behind those assumptions have never been tested. Thus, there is no body of actual science looking for ghosts.
So you said something a minute ago that I think was important to go back to. You said that believing in ghosts, believing in an afterlife or connection between our world and an afterlife, mm-hmm. should it exist, isn't a potentially damaging thing. My objection to the idea of an afterlife is that many people behave in a way in the one life that we have in order to gain entrance to an afterlife that may or may not exist. And their entire reliance on people who may or may not be crooked telling them what they should do.
I'm assuming a generally secular population here. Right. You're talking about religion, and that's a very specific and different deal. And I agree with you.
Right.
I agree with you on that front that yes, the idea of, yeah. I totally agree.
This is
you're talking about entrance to the afterlife.
Right.
I'm speaking about just the mere existence. And I agree with, so there's a famous story that when he first started making The Shining, Kubrick called up Stephen King and said, wouldn't you say, and this is to me a mind-blowing revelation, wouldn't you say that all ghost stories, no matter how horrific, are essentially optimistic because they posit that there's something after death?
Mm-hmm.
And Stephen King said, but what about hell? And Kubrick said, I don't believe in hell. Now, I am 100% in Kubrick's camp on this. Yeah. I do think that, yeah, it's totally optimistic. So I just wanted to clarify, I'm assuming that some of the people who got angry at my tweet, I even had a high school student send me this heartfelt note calling me a cyber bully.
Wow.
Which is, I appreciate his desire to look at his conflicting belief with mine and the way my tweet made him feel and address it in some rational fashion. I really appreciate that. So if some people are tuning in, I really want to make it clear. If you believe, and I've said this about God too, I don't believe in God, but if you believe that there is somebody or some intelligent entity that ticked the first domino, that was the Big Bang and put our universe into existence, I have no problem with that. There's nothing I can say for or against it. So therefore, it's just a thing that you believe that I don't.
It's outside the system we're in now, so I'll go see what happens.
Pretty much the same
it could also be a fifth-dimensional being trapped inside a black hole communicating through us through time, space-time.
Norm, I like the way... That's awesome.
You should write a screenplay.
But I will say that these shows that, and now I'm going to get some more shit for this, but the shows that go hunting,
you're in a friendly place here. It's the internet.
The internet's a totally friendly place. The shows that go hunting for Bigfoot, the shows that go looking for the ghosts, they're barking up the wrong tree when they're talking about it scientifically. And it's not like I want to start a branch of Mythbusters going looking for ghosts, or I want to get into a debate about what that actually means. I am stating a belief, and it's a sincerely held belief that I think that it clouds some of the debate about what science is and isn't. But that's actually a fairly minor point on all of this.
Well, but the clouding the debate over what science is and isn't is always present in America, at least. Because of our kind of...
We have a very politicized and religiousized discussion of science in the United States.
Right.
It's absolutely true. And the fervor of how much science gets put through that lens on an individual and even an institutional level. And by that, I mean, in Canada, you've got like a conservative government that requires government-funded scientific papers to be reviewed by a political branch before they're published.
Mm-hmm.
That is the worst thing.
It seems really bad.
I might be getting parts of that story wrong. This comes from stuff I've read of Cory Doctorow's on Boing Boing. But if that's actually the case, that's totally messed up.
Right.
And in the U.S., we have the same kind of thing where, your politics can often... Your politics can telegraph what science you do and don't believe in.
For a long
time,
that's
problematic.
Climate scientists couldn't get funded through the NEA.
Yeah.
Or NSA.
Yeah.
National Science.
NSF.
Mm-hmm. NSF. Yeah. NSA is different. We don't want them funded through the NSA. We're good. Like that kind of stuff is bananas.
Totally bananas. And so when we're talking about, just to be clear, when we're talking about if you want to hunt for ghosts, one of the first places you might start is not taking people who believe in ghosts to go look for them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, again, I realize that sounds like an invitation for me to like come out on a ghost. I don't want to go on a ghost hunt.
You're good.
I don't have any interest in it. It doesn't hold any interest for me. And Mythbusters is a full-time job. So that's that right now. But, there are a lot of scientific ways to approach the problem. I don't see a lot of those on television. And really, I still hold, I think ghosts are fictional. Several of my dear friends totally disagree with me, and we still get along.
It's okay to find comfort in ideas that may or may not hold up to rationality, but for some people, it's hard to apply rationality to one part of their life and not to others.
Well, I also got a little bit of... I know that there are a lot of public figures out there who stir the pot.
Troll, as it were.
Well, not even troll, but like, you know, they want to... They do and say things that, yeah, that engender serious and vigorous debate. And you know, on the internet, everything redounds to you're a Nazi.
That's where you, it God takes a while that. Sometimes, but, you so, know, yeah.
The internet's a worse lens.
Yes.
Have any type of
it is.
Type of
but I got a little taste of what it's like. And I don't like pissing people off. I don't want... I love tweeting about stuff that's exciting to me, like beautiful, high dynamic range photographs of New York from the sky, or beautiful old timey Hollywood shots from behind the scenes using miniatures from the 20s and 30s. God. Right. Like that is innovation and creativity and all the kind of stuff I like to promote. So if I, you know, I felt serious about this, like I said something that got taken in some of the right way and some of the wrong way. And I took a ton of shit for it, and it was unpleasant. So, you know, that's why I wanted to talk about it.
Take your comeuppance. Eat your dog food. I had a metaphor, but it's gone.
Actually, there is a what was the phrase? Mary Carr, who's a wonderful writer, wrote a book called Liar's Club, which is a coming of age story, and it's called Liar's Club because she posits that the first time a child gets away with a lie from their parent, it's the first time they realize their parent is not omnipotent and that they then also realize that they're totally alone in the universe. It's a pretty,
wow, that's
heavy,
pretty heavy.
That's
for
a heavy
4-year
leap,
old,
right?
Yeah.
So she was in the process of writing it, and she was talking to Tobias Wolff, a wonderful writer on his own history and articulate writer on his foibles and his flaws, as any great writer can be. And he said to her about writing a memoir, Brooke, no cure. I wish I could remember. Now I'm having trouble remembering this word. He basically said to her, don't try and hide what an idiot you were. Don't try and make yourself better than you were. Reveal the child that you were with all of your biases and your prejudices and all of that. And from that, the truth will come out. Don't try and whitewash your childhood.
Unflinching honesty.
Unflinching. Yeah. So, you know, I spent the weekend in contemplation about this.
Well, I think that's as good a place as any to wrap it up. Quiet contemplation.
I'm very curious about some of the comments. I wonder if we'll get some visitors coming over to give me some
I bet the YouTube channel will send... YouTube channel send people to other channels
comments.
All the time. It's a good policy.
No.
There's a nice little community forming up there in our YouTube comments amongst the...
I would love to come visit and read the comments, but YouTube commenters, I must tell you that... Among your number are some of the most vitriolic, vile, disturbing things I've ever glanced at.
Not as bad as a...
Come over to Tested.
Yeah, come to Tested.
Come on over to Tested.
We're friendly.
The water's nice and warm.
That'll do it for us this week. See you guys later. iTunes, YouTube, like us, comment. If you want to find out about Tested premium memberships, you can go to tested.com/membership and find out what's there. We have, over the break, we ran 2 new build series. So Norm and I built it's a 4x4x4 grid of LED.
I know. LED cube. So beautiful.
Yeah. This is the hardest soldering I've ever done, those steel wires.
So gorgeous. I want one.
Well, I mean, we know where to get it.
You can get one.
Okay, yeah. Good. Yeah. Good.
And then we also did a Lego race, B-Wing versus X-Wing, Ultimate Collector's Series, like 2,000 pieces each.
Giant.
Huge, yeah, huge.
I want to participate in one of these. We should do one of these next week.
We can make that happen.
Let's do that.
Okay. I have something.
I want to build a Lego.
We will go. We can build a Simpsons house. It's topical.
that was the sound of me cracking my knuckles, by the way.
Audio listeners, enjoy. See you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.
This episode of Still Untitled was brought to you by Squarespace. It's fast and easy to sign up for Squarespace. You can build a website. Norm, when I started out building websites, I used Notepad. And then I had to register a domain. I had to go put all that information into some weird text documents at the domain registrar, point it at the right place. It was a big pain in the ass. And now?
It's all one service. It's all streamlined. Thing I like most is live editing, which means that when you make a change in their in the service using their program, the changes happen in real time. You can see, you can just drag and drop user templates. It's none of this, you know, one state and updating your Quake mod website fan page every other day.
The other thing that I love is that they have apps for iOS and Android that let you check analytics, post things to the site, even take notes and save them in a way that you can put them on the site easily. Yeah. So that's Squarespace 7. They're supporting Still Untitled. If you want to sign up for Squarespace, you can go to squarespace.com and use offer code Untitled to get 10% off, and let Squarespace know that you love Still Untitled. See you guys next week.
Bye.